thirsted. And the first spake, and this he spake, build for me a pyramid, that I may rest, and build it of these dimensions, that it be proper. And thus it was done, and the name of the first was... But there was no name. It was just a babble of raised voices, arguments, ancient curse words, spreading along the line of desiccated ancestors like a spark along a powder trail, until it reached Tepikaimon, who exploded. The Ephebian sergeant, quietly perspiring in the shade, saw what he had been half expecting and wholly dreading. There was a column of dust on the opposite horizon. The Tussortians' main force was getting there first. He stood up, nodded professionally to his counterpart across the way, and looked at the double handful of men under his command. "I need a messenger to take, a message back to the city," he said. A forest of hands shot up. The sergeant sighed and selected young Auto-Q, who he knew was missing his mum. "Run like the wind," he said, "although I expect you won't need telling, will you? And then... He stood with his lips moving silently, while the sun scoured the rocks of the hot, narrow pass and a few insects buzzed in the scrub bushes. His education hadn't included a course in famous last words. He raised his eyes in the direction of home. "Go, tell the Ephebians," he began. The soldiers waited. "What?" said Auto-Q after a while. "Go and tell them what?" The sergeant relaxed, like air being let out of a balloon. "Go and tell them what kept you," he said. On the near horizon, another column of dust was advancing. This was more like it. If there was going to be a massacre, then it ought to be shared by both sides. The city of the dead lay before Tepic. After Ankh-Morpork, which was almost its direct opposite, in Ankh even the bedding was alive, it was probably the biggest city on the disk. Its streets were the finest, its architecture the most majestic and awe-inspiring. In population terms, the necropolis outstripped the other cities of the Old Kingdom, but its people didn't get out much, and there was nothing to do on Saturday nights. Until now. Now it thronged. Tepic watched from the top of a wind-etched obelisk as the grey and brown, and here and there somewhat greenish, armies of the departed passed beneath him. The kings had been democratic. After the pyramids had been emptied, gangs of them had turned their attention to the lesser tombs, and now the necropolis really did have its tradesmen, its nobles, and even its artisans. Not that there was, by and large, any way of telling the difference. They were to a corpse heading for the Great Pyramid. It loomed like a carbuncle over the lesser, older buildings, and they all seemed very angry about something. Tepic dropped lightly onto the wide, flat roof of a mastaba, jogged to its far end, cleared the gap onto an ornamental sphinx, not without a moment's worry, but this one seemed inert enough, and from there it was but the throw of a grapnel to one of the lower stories of a step pyramid. The long light of the contentious sun lanced across the silent landscape as he leapt from monument to monument, zigzagging high above the shuffling army. Behind him, shoots appeared briefly in the ancient stone, cracking it a little, and then withered and died. "This," said his blood as it tingled around his body, "is what you trained for. Even Merisette couldn't mark you down for this." Speeding in the shadows above a silent city, running like a cat, finding handholds that would have perplexed a gecko, and at the destination, a victim. True, it was 1 billion tons of pyramid, and hitherto the largest client of an inhumation had been Patricio, the 23-stone despot of Quirm. A monumental needle recording in bas-relief the achievements of a king 4,000 years ago, and which would have been more pertinent if the wind-driven sand hadn't long ago eroded his name, provided a handy ladder, which needed only an expertly thrown grapnel from its top, lodging in the outstretched fingers of a forgotten monarch, to allow him a long, gentle arc onto the roof of a tomb. Running, climbing and swinging, hastily hammering crampons in the memorials of the dead, Tepic went forth. Pinpoints of firelight among the limestone pricked out the lines of the opposing armies. Deep and stylized though the enmity was between the two empires, they both abided by the ancient tradition that warfare wasn't undertaken at night, during harvest, or when wet. It was important enough to save up for special occasions. Going at it hammer and tongs,